welcome everybody to a joint podcast, a Thunder Buddies slash All 82.
Warriors All 82 podcast, which is down to All 80. I've missed two this year, so I've been...
Shame on you.
Boo.
But I assume the Warriors are going to make the playoffs, so I'll actually end up exceeding 82.
Yeah, you might get like 102.
This is the fourth Warriors Thunder one. And all four games have been two things, dramatic
and ass whoopings
and uncompetitive.
That's a valid point. Let's tell people who we are, by the way, just in case. Everybody knows who Slater is, obviously.
No, that's on the Warriors All 82. I mean, I would hope.
That's true.
But Brett Dawson, Oklahoman Thunder writer, Eric Horn, Oklahoma Thunder writer, and of course, for the Thunder Buddies listeners, former used to be on the podcast, used to cover the Thunder, but now I cover the Warriors for San Jose Mercury News, Bay Area News Group.
We are sitting courtside after the Warriors 111-95 win over the Thunder. They sweep the season series. They do so in the last game without Kevin Durant, who did make an appearance on the sideline, but they didn't need him tonight because the Splash Brothers were killing Thunder.
Lashing.
57 points.
I mean, that's the thing. That's still, you know, they're without a superstar, but they have three all-stars on the floor. And it was still clearly a talent advantage for the Warriors, which is what is so mind-boggling about the Durant switch is that he has been added from that team that, you know, I mean, it was a very competitive seven-game series that we watched last West Finals. Well, they added the best player on the Thunder to a team that already had three all-stars. Now they got four, and it's...
It's an embarrassment of riches. It really is. And that's not to take anything away from the Warriors because they're an incredible team and they move the ball so well. I think there was a great stat that the Warriors PR put out before the game. I think they had 42 games this year where they had 30 or more assists. The Thunder have only had three of those games. And two of those games have come in the last 2 weeks.
And you consider that Russell Westbrook averages 10.5 by himself.
Yeah.
Well, so that stat's funny you mentioned that because – at the beginning of the season, they got the streak where they got, I think, 9 straight games of 30-plus assists. And, like, in games 1, 2, 3, Durant was like, yeah, you know, 30 assists. And I had remembered him back in his Oklahoma City days, like, when the Thunder got near 30 assists in the Billy Donovan or even back to Scott Brooks days, like, that was a big stat for them. They thought, you know, they had an amazing game. And I went back and looked, and in Durant's 8 seasons in Oklahoma City, they had 22 total games in 8 seasons of 30 plus assists, and they were 22-0. I mean, if the Thunder is moving it like that, they're on, you know, unstoppable, because that's just like the last issue that they always had, especially when Durant was with Westbrook. But you mentioned it right there. That's just how different the Warriors play. Durant's not on the Warriors in 42 in one season. Is that what?
It's unbelievable. And like, even with Durant not out there, they're still pinging the ball around no matter who's on the court. And the Thunder didn't do themselves any favors tonight either. They couldn't get any rebounds. Steven Adams and Taj Gibson had no rebounds in the first half.
That's such a key. What such a key thing for the Warriors to come in here without Durant, win the rebounding battle, and get those second-chance points and get the Thunder's defense in scramble mode and not in the good kind of scramble mode. They really did not do a good job finding those guys off those offensive rebounds.
Well, the keys tonight from a Warriors perspective was the guards really rebounded. I mean, everyone wants to talk about Thompson and Curry shooting. I think they had 7 first-quarter rebounds combined, and you guys just mentioned it. Taj Gibson and Adams don't have any. And then I thought the key sequence to put away the game was third quarter. You know, Westbrook hits the three to get it down to 12, and he's kind of get the crowd going. You're thinking, like, okay, they could make this a game. And then 3 times in about 2-minute span, it's JaVale McGee and some others just out here tipping out offensive rebounds, 3 of them that just fall right into the hands of Curry and Thompson. And you guys know, like, the kick-out offensive rebounds to wide-open threes are killers 3 times in one sequence. I mean, when the Warriors get more second chance points and out rebound the Thunder, there's zero chance of a Thunder win.
Right. There was one sequence where Gibson and Adams both went for a rebound. They both couldn't get it. It tips out, and Clay is right there on the left wing, and he hits the three, and Taj Gibson just takes his mouthpiece out and slams it on the ground when they call a timeout. And I'm just like, this ain't y'all's night. They finished with 3 rebounds together. 3 rebounds Taj Gibson and Steven Adams. Your starting front court had 3 rebounds against
a team that, like, that's where you attack them. I mean, that's one of the things you do to the Warriors, go get rebounds.
The Warriors have 2 Achilles heels. It's sometimes they give, you know, the games they've lost this year that are memorable, the Cleveland Christmas game, the opener against San Antonio, they give 19 offensive rebounds to the Spurs, 18 to the Cavs. And then the other one's turnovers, when they turn it over around 16, 17, 18, 19 times. Which I don't know how many they finished with tonight, but that wasn't an issue. I mean, they were pretty controlling with the ball. So, blowout formula tonight, and blowouts would happen, and that's now four games this season. Warriors win by 26, 21, 16, and 16. A lot of stuff has happened in the games, but no fourth quarter drama.
Speaking of the stuff, we didn't even get into the scuffle that much. We need to get into the scuffle.
Yeah. So this is another probably signature sequence of the game. I would say probably the signature sequence of the game is late in the first half. Warriors are dominating the first half. They're up 17. There's a jump ball with 5 seconds left in the half, and just one of those typical jostling for position type situations where it's Curry and Samaje Christian, who, look, Steph Curry is about as mild-mannered a superstar as you're ever going to find. And I covered Samaje Christian a little bit when he was a Blue guy. I covered him in the summer league. I mean, very shy guy. I know you guys know this now even better than me, having covered him as a Thunder player. If I would predict two guys who would never, you know, it would never pop off between those literally would be the two guys. But that's what started it. They were kind of pushing each other, and then, you know, Westbrook jumps in, and nobody really said much about it post-game. But, you know, it was, you know, boiling over of emotions, although I think in the end it's not that big a deal.
Like, to me, these guys said it wasn't a big deal, but when you're looking at it at the time, that was some hard pushing. That was Westbrook trying to get through people to get to Steph Curry.
And it was Draymond making a beeline for Russell, it looked like. Like, Draymond was going to get in the – if he was going to get in the middle of it, he was going straight to Westbrook.
And my favorite part is Draymond post-game was like, I didn't even do anything, but really, if I'm in the area, I got a technical.
That's what I was thinking at the time. He really didn't do anything to me. It seemed like Draymond – like, Westbrook and Draymond were actually trying to come between the guys, but then there was a point where Westbrook just said – Westbrook kind of, like, mini-snapped, and he was trying to get through people – to get to Curry. Then he sits down on the scorer's table in front of us, and Mo Cheeks comes over and talks to him, and it's kind of just...
You know, everyone wants to talk about Westbrook Durant, which is really obviously is like the most fascinating to people, you know, player v. player drama in the league because of their history together. But the Westbrook-Curry thing has been something for a while now, too, where... But dating back to the playoffs last year where Russ kind of snickered at the question about Curry's underrated defense and just the general... difference between how they have become superstars and how they play, which is like this Curry's supreme skill and shooting and grace and his such graciousness with the press and with, you know, children and stuff. Not that Russ isn't with children. The press, obviously he isn't. But and the way Russ is just this athletic freak that older players love, whereas like the Oscar Robertsons of the world, remember last year all the times the older players criticized Curry, whereas Russell, it's always like, oh, that's a dog. I want him on my side at all times. So is that difference? And then the way that Russ just kind of seems to shove aside this guy who's a two-time unanimous MVP, and we even saw it last week, the who's he comment.
Right.
At the same time, Curry's on the other side of it saying Harden's his MVP. Didn't do it disrespectfully, but still, that's going to get that kind of reaction about Russ. So, I mean, that was a moment kind of like the last game when it was a Russ-KD moment when they yelled at each other. I thought that was finally a little Russ-Curry, like, man, I don't like you that much, basically.
Yeah, that stuff, you know, like the thing last week when he said, who is he? Some people have taken that the wrong way. You know, it wasn't like, I saw somebody say today, oh, so he does know Steph's name. He wasn't saying, like, I don't know who that guy is. He was saying, what is his opinion matter on the MVP? Because he was obviously a little ticked off that he had said he would give Harden the MVP. That stuff's, there's some of that stuff that's, it's a sideline, it's a side story to the Durant and Westbrook stuff, but it's a kind of a fun one.
Steph said it was fun. He called that whole thing fun, actually, which is easy to say after the fact when you win the game and then you hit a buzzer beater right after the whole altercation. It's easy to say that the whole thing was fun. I mean, didn't seem like it was too much fun to the Thunder players. They tried to play it off after the game, and Westbrook was short and brief about things as he usually is when he's in an altercation. But it the end of the play was a microcosm of the entire game because the Thunder loses the tip. They don't find Curry quick enough, and Curry hits the buzzer beater and then runs off the court into the tunnel, and then the Thunder just kind of slouches off the court down 20. Like, that was just a microcosm of the game.
It's just like, how many times in this building have we now seen this Warriors team just break hearts? I mean, and this dates back to ABC Saturday night game last year when the Thunder they were leading that whole game. Then they have that really bad turnover where Durant turned it over, goes to OT. And then probably, you know, the greatest shot I've ever seen in person was the Curry 40-footer. That was jaw-dropping, the completion of that game. That remains probably the most memorable shot, if we're not talking about, like, stakes of a game, because it was a regular season game, of the decade, maybe.
I was almost surprised, in a way, especially, like, being here in the building. I think you asked him today, right, his favorite shot.
Yeah.
and he brought up a shot in the first finals they played in, like game five. Yeah,
it was like a crossover on Della Dova.
Yeah, it was I think, you know, I think to his point, like an important shot in terms of trying to win a championship. But he might never hit a shot bigger and cooler and like cooler. Ballsier think, than the one he made.
Yeah, I think that's the way to, like the coolness of that shot.
People were getting like mad at me on Twitter because they were saying that like I was basically like jock riding the Warriors during this game. But it's like, I don't think we actually give the Warriors enough credit. We've almost been desensitized to what these guys do. So when they come in to here and they're doing it right in front of our face, in front of a raucous crowd, I can't give them enough praise for what they do. I can't give Steph Curry and Klay Thompson enough praise for how accurate they are from three. They were unbelievable tonight. And the Thunder, it's not that they were doing a terrible job on them all the time. There were times where these guys were getting tip outs and getting wide open threes. They lost them a couple times that really burned them and really broke their backs. But Andre Robertson had a face in Klay Thompson's he had a hand in Klay Thompson's face a few times. I mean, Russell Westbrook was playing aggressive defense against Steph Curry at times. He was really trying. This was one of those games where Russell Westbrook, he saw a challenge in front of him, similar to those games where he gets against Dame Lillard and he just wants to attack a guard for some reason. And those guys were just hitting shots. And I commend them, and I can't commend them enough.
You know, the other thing, and Slater, you see this all the time, so it's not a big thing to you, but like the thing we lose sight of, especially on nights like this when they're making threes the way they were, their team defense is so good.
It was really good
tonight. They were so locked in.
Thunder, I thought, was great tonight.
The Thunder could not get anything easy. Everything was a challenge, and they rotate so well. They're just really, when they're locked in defensively, they are so good.
And the Thunder didn't even turn the ball over that much tonight, but when they did, the Warriors made them pay. There was one sequence where Doug McDermott was in, and he tried to throw a pass through some arms, and the Warriors blocked it. They immediately got out of the break. Klay hit a transition three, and that's when it got to like 9 points, and from there it was over. It was like second quarter. It was done.
They're really well built to guard a Westbrook team, too, for a couple reasons. They have Draymond, who is a big that if you get him switched on. I mean, he's the best. He's probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year strictly because in this new age, you know, positionless, guard everyone, he's the best at it, and he's smart. And he can tick Westbrook off. And if Westbrook gets isolated against him, he's like, oh, I'm going at Draymond. And they're well built to guard that kind of pick and roll game. And they're smart in how they try to bait Westbrook. And this was a big thing, not necessarily as much tonight, but the first game when Durant was back here, I don't know if you guys remember, but they put Durant on Westbrook for stretches when it was still a game. And they, talking to their coaches post game, it was like, we knew if we get Durant on him in this crowd, he's just going to go one on one, and he's going to try to shoot over Durant's arms. He's going to jack up shots. He's not going to get others involved. Like, you guys know, the Thunder's at the best when he's kind of using everyone. And they just know, they're smart to know how competitive he is and know how to bait him. And it works. And I think Strauss had the stat, but he's something like Westbrook's 35% shooting in his last like 20 games against the Warriors. Like, he's just not good against them. And it's almost because he's trying too hard to be good against them.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing you talked about with Dame Lillard, you know, the same kind of thing. It's different because it's a whole team, whereas that feels really sort of personal. It feels like a Lillard-Westbrook thing. This feels like a Westbrook-Warriors thing.
Westbrook beat the world.
Yeah, that yeah.
It's bad. That's the simplest way of putting it. It's bad. He was 4-16 tonight. He didn't shoot the ball very well, and it wasn't even just jump shots. He wasn't finishing at the rim. There were a couple of those where he was short on some drives to the rim, and that really hurt him at times. But yeah, Westbrook gets in those modes, particularly against the Warriors, against Dame Lillard for some unknown reason. I looked up some stat, like some of his highest volume shot games have always come against the Blazers, and whether that's a Blazers offense, them gunning at each other thing, or Westbrook just having it out for Dame Lillard, it's something. But again, against the Warriors, he tends to struggle shooting the ball.
And then, you know, and then it snowballs for him because he's slumping his shoulders, he's chirping at people, he's doing something, and then Steph Curry bolts to the three-point line and gets a three. And, you know, he probably had, what, three or four defensive breakdowns tonight where the three that they hit, which, because they were, you know, the splash bros were wide open all night. I'd say at least four of those threes were just on a Westbrook breakdown.
Yeah, it was like there was one where, you know, Robertson had a hand in Klay Thompson's face, and it wasn't even a defensive breakdown. It's just that four guys crashed the boards. Robertson had a hand in Klay Thompson's face, but nobody accounted for, like, Steph out there, and that's Westbrook's guy.
Yep.
And Westbrook is too busy crashing the boards, and Steph's right there wide open. And it's like, well, is anybody going to get him? Robertson did his job. What's Westbrook going to do? It's – They're out, man, against this team, and they can't make any mental errors. And then they don't win the rebounding battle. Everything that could possibly go wrong for the Thunder tonight probably went wrong, and they're undermanned.
Yeah, and you know, Anthony, you talk about the fact that they're built really well to defend a Westbrook team. The Thunder also is not built very well to score against what they do defensively, just outside of Westbrook. They don't have a lot of other guys that can create. They got a lot of holes offensively that they kind of mask with all the stuff that Westbrook does. Against this defense, it's hard to do that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're just the team ball. And, you know, they're fired up. I also feel like that at times this year the Thunder's got the Warriors in bad situations where, look, Curry and Thompson are coming off the coldest streak of their career collectively, where they just went on this eight-game, eight-city, 13-day road trip, where the two, Curry and Thompson, the first five games of the road trip, shot a combined 28 of 109 from three, you know, to under 20%. Curry had an 0 of 11 game in Philadelphia. They went to Chicago, and I'm telling you, they were just as wide open as they were tonight, and they combined to go 3 of 22 from three. And, you know, they score 87 points in Chicago. So, they've actually been in a slump lately, but the problem is they finally got home right before this game. They had a week to kind of get themselves together to figure out the Durant departure thing. And, you know, they're fired up when they play the Thunder. And yeah, when they're fired up, they're good. And that's what's like – that's the problem. That's why it's a season sweep, basically, because they were always going to be fired up for these games. And when they play well, they're going to, you know, usually win.
Speaking of Durant departure, we haven't really touched on the you know, the whole Durant return story that kind of broke in the past, I guess, maybe 48 hours or so. Have you talked about that?
It was last night. Yeah.
24, 40, yeah,
it was late
hours.
Late last night. I was blogging at midnight.
Yeah, to the people out there listening, basically, there was a report from ESPN's Chris Haynes that, you know, the Warriors weren't happy with the way that Durant was received when he came back, thought that the Thunder probably didn't do enough to ease him back into this in terms of, you know, maybe having a press conference, letting people know that they appreciated Kevin Durant in his time here. And
trying to temper the fans,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, preparing the crowd and tempering the crowd's emotions. And then we saw as a result the crowd – I mean, the Thunder didn't do anything, basically. They basically sent out a release to ESPN, and the crowd came with the cupcake stuff. So, you know, we had that leading into this game that really didn't have much consequence, and then all of a sudden that story broke, and it's like, oh, great, we just added gasoline to, like, a very, very small fire, and now it's a bonfire. And, yeah, but
I felt that was a story – in the lead-up, I never, like, during the game tonight, there was never, like, that wasn't hovering over the game at all. That was obviously, had about a 12-hour, 13-hour lifespan. You know, the Warriors, I thought, did a pretty good job of shooting it down with Kerr come out. And, like, Kerr didn't just no-comment it like he could have. He literally, like, that didn't come from us type thing. It's obviously, understandably, seems to people like it was leaked purposely by the Warriors, which I know to not be the case. I know that they were, you know, pretty ticked off about what happened. I also know that they kind of do feel that the Thunder should have done a little bit more, but they thought that, you know, in the day or two after, there was like maybe off the side conversations. They were not trying to push this story out. It got out how it got out, whatever about that. I think it was oversold, especially I know the Warriors think the language in it was a little oversold, furious and bewildered by it. I think
small,
it was just
small market. That was another one that was kind of weird too. It's like that they should be grateful as a small market or something along those lines.
Well, and the other thing to remember, there was not one quote in it. All it said was,
right.
And that's the other thing I have a problem sometimes with the anonymous sources thing is when you just say the Warriors say this. Well, you know, you guys know covering a team like Bob Myers isn't thinking like Andre Iguodala is thinking, who's like Draymond Green's thinking. You know, they're all different people who have different thoughts. Some might have cared, some might not have cared. But when you just say the Warriors, then people suddenly just view this umbrella like this is what the Warriors and every single person there thinks. When, you know, maybe it's KD and somebody else or whoever.
And that was kind of my thing about, like, what Kerr said today. Like, just and I appreciated Steve Kerr for, like, answering the question. But, like, he wasn't speaking for, like, people above him. Or he wasn't speaking necessarily for, like, people, like, outside of his players. Like, he doesn't – like, Steve Kerr doesn't have any idea. He just read the story, like, 5 minutes before he walked
over.
Did
he read
the
story, right? He got, like, kind of a rundown.
Yeah, like, basically, like, the Warriors PR, like, talked to him about it. Like, he doesn't know, like, who around him is saying those things. He just has to say, like, oh, it didn't come from us. Us could just be, you know, the guys on the court at shoot-around. Like, he doesn't know that stuff. So I kind of felt bad for him, like, having to ask him that. But at the same time, I appreciated him giving an answer on it.
I think they wanted to publicly come out and tell you, because it's taboo in the NBA for coaches to kill coaches. This is why Jeff Van Gundy's always, you know, had Jeff Van Gundy ever criticized the coach on the broadcast? No, he'll kill media members all the time. But coaches across the league always praise coaches. Front offices always praise front offices. Behind the scenes, when they know they're off the record and they know they're not going to be sourced, they'll kill teams. You know, everyone talks. I mean, it's the NBA. There's so much,
right,
you know, gossip behind the scenes. But they never want it to be portrayed publicly like they came out purposely and were like, let's kill the Thunder on an ESPN article. They didn't want it to be out there, even if partly they did think some of the stuff that was on it.
Right. And, hey, like, just to be clear on that, not to be hating on anybody, but the story had some issues with it. ESPN changed that story pretty dramatically after it first appeared. There was some editorializing in it that was taken out, some language that was changed, some stuff that was, you know, there was a thing of saying that they had not – they had sort of made an organizational decision to ignore that Durant was coming back, which sort of ignored the fact that they had released a statement to ESPN, so they had to go back and add that statement. So there were some problems with the story as well.
Yeah, I mean, playoff series between these two. I'm definitely not out. I don't want it. I'm out for a first rounder for sure. I mean, once it gets high leverage later in the playoffs, like, you know, all the playoff series are going to be pretty intense. I wouldn't mind a second round series between the two, which is potentially setting up if the Thunder can get up to five and win a first round series and the Warriors stay at one. There was a moment, or, you know, a couple days, maybe a week or two back, where it was looking like, man, 2-7 could really happen, because the Warriors were slumping under the Spurs. Thunder had been sitting at seven for a while, but at this point, the way the Thunder's kind of come on, now won 5 of 6 after losing today, the Warriors have bolted back. I think they're up 2.5 now on the Spurs. It would have to be second round.
I would. There was a time where I thought that it might be interesting if the Thunder could catch them as early as possible in the playoffs, because you don't know how Durant's going to be coming back. But Thunder don't want any. They don't want any piece of the Warriors, no matter who they got on the court. The Thunder needs to put the Warriors off as long as possible and just get as many playoff games as they can at home, so they can get a bunch of money and they can make money and they can get as far as they can in the playoffs. They don't want any piece of the Warriors. Nobody wants any piece of the Warriors.
I would have two thoughts. Like, I feel from the Thunder's perspective, you don't want any part of the Warriors till later, and you might not want any part of them at all, because I think a successful season for the Thunder is a one series win. If they get one series win and they lose in round two to whoever, the Warriors or the Spurs, good season. You know, without Durant, you win 46-ish games, whatever they're going to win. You get a series win. You're in the final eight, and, like, that's a pretty commendable rebound season as you move forward without Durant. But you get them in round one, you're losing in round one, you probably don't want that. And then from the Warriors' perspective, look, I don't think there's anyone besides maybe Russell Westbrook in the world that thinks the Warriors wouldn't beat the Thunder in a series, but they do not at all want to drop Kevin Durant, a healing Kevin Durant, who's probably going to be eased back into the lineup, into this cage match where he is by far the center of attention, the center of all these source stories, different stuff, booing and all that. And you know, against a physical team, they would much rather just go, hey, go play Denver, who's going to be sitting there going, we're so happy to be here. Like, please come blow us out in Denver and just, like, welcome us to NBA playoff world. So neither team wants each other. Doesn't sound like anybody around the organizations wants any part of it. I think it would be good for these two teams to just be separated until next season.
There are probably a lot of fans who would love to see it. There are people who enjoy this thing.
A lot of writers would love to see it, too.
National ones.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. I don't know how much about the people that cover the team would want to do that. We had Jabari Young in a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about, you guys would love it. And I was thinking, I would not love it at all. I would hate it. You do not speak for me, Jabari.
It's one of those deals where I feel like it would be like a great story when we're five years from now, and, you know, you're rehashing your career and some of the stuff you cover. You're like, man, that crazy, you know, whatever happens, like that Thunder Warriors, like, first year Durant was back, first round series, and you're, like, rehashing it, and it sounds fun 5 years later, but in the moment, the stress of it all would kind of, everyone would be so stressed. Writers, PR staffs, players, coaches, fans, like the Twitter, especially, because it's like, it's West Coast versus Middle America, which is like, guess what's going on in the country right now.
Right.
It's just a bomb that the playoffs doesn't need.
People's emotions are just so high, whether they want to admit it or not. These guys try and deflect this stuff like it's not emotional, and Westbrook tries to act like this stuff doesn't matter. Like, all right, then don't wear a photographer's vest in the game. Like, it matters, man. It matters to that guy. It matters to the guys in the locker room. We passed the locker room on the way to the interview, and I can hear behind the door these dudes are dropping F-bombs, or at least one person was, that these dudes care, man. Like, they don't want to get blown out by this team. They don't want to get blown out by the guy who's here on their team for however many years. It's
here.
A passion play,
you know,
man.
Though, I don't think the Oracle games, it was like, you know, there was passion in that game. So it was like, whatever. We'll see you down the line.
Right.
And I think they always thought they'd get one. I really think their biggest game of the season was the Durant return game. That was kind of the Super Bowl, and they wanted that one bad, and it didn't go well. And then this one, it was like, well, you know, at least let's get a slight little revenge game where it's like, you know, you don't have Durant, but guess what? We don't have Durant either, where, like, both teams were like, all right, let's – this guy that's been in the center of it all, let's toss him away from the game, and it's like that core against that core.
Yeah, and the Thunder have been playing better, and they were a different team since then. There's been a significant trade. So, yeah, I think probably – I mean – yes, I'm sure they wanted to get this. Obviously, you want to get every game, but I'm sure this one meant a little something extra.
For sure. More than the Kings game Saturday, I'd say.
Everything that's ever happened meant more to these guys than that Kings game did, I'm pretty sure.
What's your guys' view on the Warriors in general as a title contender in the league's landscape right now? Because when they had just lost, I don't remember what it was, maybe 4 of 8. You know, they lost 3 in a row at one point. There's national people coming out talking about, oh, with Durant, they're doomed. What's your thought on just the Warriors overall in the title landscape?
I mean, they're going to the finals. It's just a question of – my question has always been, how is Durant going to perform when he gets to that stage? You know, I guess you'd be 5 years removed from the last time he'd been in the finals. I mean, he was young back then. He's matured a lot since then. His game has just grown exponentially. But at the same time, LeBron James has had this stranglehold on Durant from the Thunder time to even going to the Warriors in the first matchup while he lit up Cleveland. I mean, he lit up Cleveland when he was here. But, I mean, the last couple of seconds, you see Durant fumble the ball away in that Cleveland game. I just feel like that's going to be the thing to watch, how Durant performs when he gets to that stage. I think the Warriors are going to the finals, and I think they'll win the finals. But – you know, the Durant-LeBron matchup is going to be the thing that's going to decide it for me.
I still think, you know, I think there might still be another little bump when he comes back, whenever that is, as they adjust again to having him back. I could see them having
that's why they
some,
won Denver.
Yeah, I could see them having some bumps in the road in that first playoff series as he gets adjusted and all that kind of stuff. I have the same, even less specifically about Durant, I have the same concerns. It's just like, you get to the finals and how do you deal with LeBron? We just haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen them have a lot of success in dealing with LeBron, so I'm curious how that goes.
Yeah, I think there's been an encouragement with how he's handled LeBron in the first two games, because he really dominated that Christmas game in Cleveland until the last 8 or so minutes, and it was mostly Jefferson on Durant. Like, Jefferson was on him when he had that late fumble, and really the GOAT in that game was Curry. He was like very – it was like the culmination of a month of just like unaggressiveness from him, which has been changed. And then they had the game on Martin Luther King Day in Oakland where they just killed the Cavs, and Durant, you know, outplayed LeBron. And the difference with him on the Warriors compared to him on the Thunder is like, they're dropping him into this, you know, now it would be a third straight finals, where last year it was Harrison Barnes in that spot and now it's him. So they don't need, it's not like a, let's, you know, roll the ball and watch these two titanic guys clash. It's, there's stars all over the floor where he doesn't have to dominate the individual matchup. He just has to hold his own, and they're at a point of both their careers, if Durant's healthy, where you expect Durant to be able to at least somewhat hold his own or even lose that individual matchup slightly. And if he does that, that's a win for the Warriors.
I think, too, the thing you said tonight about the way when they're locked in, when they're ready to play, when they're fired up, I expect them to be like that in the playoffs. That's why it's really hard for me to imagine them not making the finals, because, frankly, if they play defense the way they did tonight, which I think they'll do consistently in the playoffs, they're going to be really hard to beat once they get into – again, they might have a little bit of a bump when Durant comes back, but, like, once they get into the Western Conference Finals, if they're playing defense like that and they got all those guys clicking, it's hard for me to see them losing.
I'm not huge on anyone really out West. You know, everyone talks about Houston. They're going to – you know, they're trying to bury them in an avalanche of threes, I believe.
They want to go get in a shootout with Golden State, be my guess.
I just don't think you can beat them at their own game. I don't think that's a thing, especially when
maybe once or twice.
You can get hot, but the Warriors can really lock you down defensively, and Houston doesn't have that. They've got the ability to outscore you, and they can get some stops here and there. They're probably a little bit better defensively than we all thought they were going to be going into the year, but they're not going to lock you down over a long stretch of time the way these guys can.
Yeah, and, you know, Spurs are the other team. They're the Spurs. They've been great all year, but I don't know. If everyone's healthy, I don't really see it either, especially now because it's looking like Warriors would have home court if they can kind of cruise to this finish line with a bunch of home games coming up. All right, you guys good?
Final thoughts?
I am going to add some post-game sound for probably Draymond and, you know, Kerr post-game tonight. I don't know if you guys have thoughts before. I do that for the Warriors All 82 podcast. I'm assuming Thunder Buddies listeners aren't looking for some Steve Kerr post-game sound.
We'll pass on that.
No, but they can go out and, you know, if you're listening to Thunder Buddies and you're like, this is the end, and you're like, man, I would really like to hear that, they could go over to All 82 and get that.
Download it. Give me a download.
Sounds good to me.
4-0. Done with the season series. We're good. I'm interested to see this Thunder team the rest of the way. Who do you think, last topic, who do you think the Thunder wants in the first round? Right now the options are Utah as the 4-5, Rockets as the 3-6. I know they don't want San Antonio as 7-2.
I think Utah, in a way, like they've played Houston very tough. I think Westbrook can get kind of wrapped up in some situations there, but he's played very well against them. Maybe you get that bad Westbrook occasionally against them. I like the matchup with Utah from a standpoint that, look, Utah's really good if they're healthy, and Gobert makes a huge difference. We saw them handle the Jazz here without him, and it's a huge, huge difference. But they've won there once, and this is a team that, even as young as they are, they got a lot of guys who have been through this. They've been in the playoffs. They've won big games. Utah just doesn't have that to any real extent. I think that's one of the things that's, to me, that's one of the big advantages they have.
If you want to just get your first-round series, in the best matchup is Utah. But if you look at it from a standpoint of the road ahead, and I know the Thunder's not going to be looking at it that way. They're going to be looking at it one, quote-unquote, one game at a time, one series at a time. Then you'd ideally want to get the six, pull off a quote-unquote upset against Houston, and then you could avoid Golden State in the second round and avoid all the hoopla that would come with that. But it seems like there's this collision course. If the Thunder does win a first-round series, they're going to end up against Utah. They're going to end up getting Golden State in the second round, and then we're going to have the Durant-Westbrook drama that everybody wants again.
Well, I will potentially see you guys down the line or not. And if not, enjoy your summer.
I feel like the Thunder can definitely win a series against Utah.
Your summer is going to be short, but enjoy it.
Should be. You never know. I mean, injuries can pop up at any time. There was a season flash before their eyes in D.C. when they thought Durant might be out for the year. And he's not going to be. He's looking better. You saw him on the bike today. He's getting back, but he's still a couple weeks away, I'd say. Warriors in Dallas tomorrow night. The Curry brothers battling. Starters now. Seth for Steph. Should be a good one.
Thunder got a revenge game for Jeremy Grant against the Sixers.
Oh, there you go. Will he get booed?
Here on Wednesday. He's not going to
get booed. The T.J. McConnell show. We're going to get Russell Westbrook backing down T.J. McConnell every which way he possibly can.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
All right, guys.
All right. Adios.